Facing the Fears of Life, Part 1, Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 to 6. The uncertainty of life often brings fears into our hearts. How can we allay these fears? Dear friends, our God knows our fears. Though our fears may not be known or may be unknown to anyone, the fears in our hearts, the secret fears of our soul, our God knows them all. And our text tells us that God indeed is our very present comforter, our very present encourager as we look to him. We are going to learn from Abraham, the father, the founding father of the nation of Israel, from whom the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the only Savior of the world, will come. As we follow him in his life journey, as God help him to overcome his fears, because it is the will of God that his people should not give way, as the commentator Matthew Henry says, to prevailing fears, whatever happens. May his people not give way to prevailing fears, whatever happens. What are the fears of Abraham? Our text begins in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 15 with these words. After these things, he has been called out from the Earl of the Chaldees, modern day Iraq, to Canaan, a 1,200 kilometer journey. And he has been there for some time. And just recently, he has been mobilized to rescue his nephew, Lot, who was taken captive hostage by the king or the emperor of a great empire north, modern-day Iran. Elam was the name. He was the head of a coalition of four kings: Iran, Iraq, Turkey, a vast empire, the precursor of the Assyrian Empire. Very cruel, very powerful, strong enemy. And he and his little band of servants, 18 of them, has been able to overcome them and grant to them his mercy by enabling them, right, to be able to follow and walk with God. And this is what the Lord wants for his people. And here the Lord teaches us, right, and shows us what the Lord would have us to do, what the Lord would have his people to do. And Abram was someone, right, who has been walking with God, following what God wanted him to do, by rescuing in an almost impossible situation, overcoming a great army to rescue Lot, his nephew, the king of Sodom, and the families and all that were taken captives by the enemy. And just after this event, he must be thinking, will they be back again? What will he do? They are powerful. And he was, well, he was in this state of mind, as it were. Our text tells us, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying to Abram, fear not, fear not. You see, God knows what we are going through in our hearts, in our minds, the heartaches, the challenges that befalls us. God knows. And God came to bring to Abram a stillness of heart, to trust God, to be his protector, to be his provider during a time of need. So here it says, fear not, Abram, fear not. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Right, the Lord tells us here in this first thought, first of four thoughts, that in the time of fear, we need to exercise faith in God. In the time of fear, we need to exercise faith in God. God came to Abram, and God said to Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. He says to him that I am your safety and I am your satisfaction. I am your protector and I am your provider. The meaning of the word shield is used very interestingly. Right, after a battle, what is the purpose of a shield? The shield is like our modern-day armor. So it protects us from the onslaught of the enemy. The shield is able to protect the body. When you hide behind the shield, you are protected from the darts of the enemy. And so God is saying to Abram that you remember, I am the one who delivered you from your all your enemies. They may come again, but I am with you. I am your shield. And God wants us to know for certain, for sure, to have faith in him as we walk with him in this life's journey to heaven. There are many uncertainties that can happen to us or even our loved ones. And we have many concerns, many worries, many unspoken anxieties. And God is saying to us that we are to have faith in him. Have faith in him. So you see that in a very critical time, God came to allay the fears of Abram, to Abraham. And the thoughts that was in his heart goes beyond just perhaps the enemies that would come and raid him, but to what will happen to him after him, he was thinking about his next generation. Because God had said to him that his descendants will be like the so great that it would form even a nation, a great nation. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2, God said to him, I will make thee a great nation. And God also, at the same time, promised him and said to him that that I will give to thee and to thy seed, which will be as the dust of the ground. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 16. So that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. How can you number the dust of the earth? So great, right? Yeah. And this was the background. And Abram has been there living this nomadic life in Canaan, and that child has not come. You remember, God has given him great wealth. He has a great household of servants, but he had not an heir. And so, in chapter 15 and verse 2, he expressed his fears to God. This is our second thought from verse 2 to 3. Faith in God, verse 1. Fears given and explained to God, verse 2 to 3. You have any anxieties? Cast them upon the Lord. And here the Lord is saying, Abram is saying to the Lord, Lord God, the word God, the word Elohim, speaks of the power of God. That he is all powerful, that he is able, and I'm coming to you to share with you my heartache, the anxiety that is in my heart. Here he says, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? Behold, to me thou hast given no seed. You have promised me of seeds as the dust of the ground, but up to now I have not seen this promise fulfilled. And I'm getting old. And you know that my wife, Sarah, she has been barren. So as you think about Abram's situation, you can see that his heart was thinking and considering, how will God's will be fulfilled? What will life be after? I'm getting old and my faculties are getting weaker. And what will I do with all that belongs to me thereafter? Right. Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 18 and 19 also expressed this when he said in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 verse 18, yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall come, that shall be after me, And who knoweth whether he be a wise man or a fool, whether he shall have rule over my labor wherein I have labored, wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun? And verse 20 and 21. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun, for there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and is in knowledge and in equity, yet to a man that hath not labored therein shall he live it for his portion. This also is vanity and a great evil. So he's speaking about his will, as it were. What will be after me? And so he expressed his fears to God. And this is the lesson that the Lord wants us to learn. As we go through life and the challenges that we face in life, right, the Lord is saying to us, we need to trust him, that he's able to guide us. He is our shield. In other words, he is the one that will protect us from any harm and danger, and he is also our exceeding great reward. Here the word says that he is our satisfaction. When we have him, we have everything that we need, because he is the maker, he is the sustainer of all things. He is the source of all blessing. He is the source of life. Dear friends, if we are connected to know God and to know that in him all things consist, and so he says to Abram that I'm thy exceeding great reward. If you want to live that life to the maximum, if you want your life to be most fulfilled, most satisfying, most satisfied, the satisfaction that we can find in life comes from our God, the source of our blessing. And so God wants us to know, and Abraham is once again reminded, right, because God has called him out, right, from a seated home to become a wanderer living in tents. What will life be after this? I've offended the powers that be. And now, what do I do? I'm vulnerable. And there is no one by which I could write my will to. Is it to Eliezer of Damascus, one of his servants who was born in his house, who is the steward of his house? Dear friends, when we are in any doubt concerning what life will be ahead of us, God wants us to consult him. Bring your anxiety to the Lord. Articulate your fears. So Paul says in Philippians 4, 6 to 7, you recall when we had one church camp by which we took time to study. Paul says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let your request be made known unto God. So the Lord wants us to be careful for nothing, be anxious about nothing. In other words, God will take care of your anxiety, of all that you will need in this life, and commit yourselves to Him. So let us be particular in our prayer. Let us be specific in our prayer. What is it that is bothering you? What is it that is causing you to fear? What is that deep anxiety that is in your heart? Well, the Lord is saying to you to bring it to Him. And so this is our second thought. Fears given and explained to God, verses 2 to 3. And our third thought, from verse 4 to 5, faithful word of God to allay every fear. Have God's faithful word to allay your fears. In verse 4 and 5, you will see God speaking to Abraham to allay his fears. When we go to the word of God, God, by His Spirit, will use His word to instruct us, to comfort us, to admonish us, to teach us, to guide us, to comfort us, to bless us. And so the Lord spoke to Abram, and the Lord says in verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him. The word of the Lord came unto him. Dear friends, if our Bibles is always closed, collecting dust in the shelves, how can we expect our fears to be allayed? God wants to speak to you, and God speaks to us through His word. And if we will not open our Bibles to seek His counsel, whereof can we be instructed? But Abram is one who sought the Lord and would wait upon Him for His counsel. And the counsel of God came to him. And if you read the Bible, you would notice that in all the life of God's people throughout the Old Testament and now throughout the New Testament, whenever the Word of God is being sought, whenever the people of God seek for the counsel of God, they never fail to receive help from the Lord. Never once, every time the Lord provides an answer. Our pastoral this week from Psalm 107, the psalmist writes in order to testify how God come the storm in his life. You would notice in Psalm 107 and verse 29, He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. He maketh the storms a calm, so that the waves are still. And verse 28 speaks about how the people of God cry out to God. Verse 28 says, they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. Every time they prayed, every time he showed mercy to deliver them. And this is what the psalmist is testifying to them, that he is always spot on to solve every problem that his people encounters. Right? He bringeth them out of their distresses. Every time. This is what the Lord, through the psalmist, is saying to us. That we have a faithful God who will not fail his people. And he's asking us to trust him. He's asking us to look to him. He's asking us to come to him. For he's that powerful. He's that able. He will not sleep in his duty. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord would like us to know that our God answers prayer. He maketh the storm a come, so that the waves thereof are still. Then verse 30, then are they glad. Then are they glad. Because they be quiet. The storm is in the heart. The turmoil is calmed. They be quiet. So that he bringeth them unto their desired haven, like a ship trying to find harbor, has finally been able to dock safely in the harbor after overcoming the storms along the way. And so the Lord is saying to us here that he knows the way out for us. He has the solution. And he is asking that we be not weary, but would continue to come to him, continue to seek him, continue to ask him. The Lord is saying to us that we have a God who will not fail us. So Luke's gospel, Jesus said to his people, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 18 and verse 1. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. If you think that your fears has been so great, then the Lord is saying to you, don't stop praying. Don't stop tarrying with him. Don't stop waiting upon him. Don't stop hoping in him, because he never fails us. Men ought always to pray and never and not to faint. Right? And our Lord Jesus says to us that we have a God, a Father in heaven who loves us. A just judge in heaven. If you face any injustice, our God is able to right every wrong. And so he says, well, Jesus says in that parable, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. He will answer your prayer. And so the Lord came to Abram, and the Lord said to him, and behold, verse 4, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thy heir, but he that shall come out of thy own bowels shall be thine heir. So the Lord is saying to Abram, be patient. Be patient. I know you have been waiting for a long time, but be patient. Oftentimes, God works in His own way, by His own means, in His own time. And the Lord seeks that when we wait upon Him, that we don't run before Him. And so God is saying to him, the word of the Lord came unto him. Do you have your quiet time every morning, every evening, even every noon time, whereby you would open your Bible and you have a way by which you would read the Bible? We have to read the Bible through in 1 year. And as you open to the Word of God, do you have that experience that God show you the way? Every time, God guides you and not leave you perplexed. Well, I can say to you that His word indeed does help us. And when you would open to the word and be still before Him, He never fails to guide us. Is this your experience? This is my experience. He never fails. He always works. And that is why the Lord gives us the confidence to keep going back to Him in His word. So that you will not have, you say that you would have enough. You know enough what to do. Every time you go to God, well, you go, as it were, in a poverty of spirit, as a beggar, you know, in need. God, if you do not fill us, fill me, God, you do not provide and help, we are done for. And does God not help? Does not God show the way, make a way? Well, I say to you, God has never failed. God has never failed to provide a way every time. And so that's what the Lord wants us to learn when we face the fears of life, to go to His word. And we must be skill as in, you know, having the patience to search His word and to have the tools to understand His word. You have a Bible dictionary, you have a concordance, you have with you commentaries to help you understand as you meditate upon the Word of God. The Lord wants you to know His will. And the Holy Spirit never fails to teach you. You see, by ourselves we are in trouble. But God has deemed that we be partakers of His divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature. God with us. God's Spirit, God's power, God's grace. And the Lord wants us to realize that in His Word, there will be help. And so, you know, many hundreds of years later, when Israel was in the land, and there was a king in the southern kingdom by the name of Hezekiah. And Hezekiah was faced with a great enemy from the north, Elam, Sennacherib, the great Assyrian emperor, coming to besiege Jerusalem. And he has already given all his gold away. He has cut, you know, the gold in the temple, all the pillars of gold, of bronze, of silver. He has given all away. And the Syrian army is surrounding him, and they are going to be overcome, overwhelmed. What did he do? He went to the Lord and he prayed to God. And you know what happened? Sennacherib went home solo, alone. His entire army, 180,000, collapsed in just one night. God sent his angel and swept through the army, obliterated the entire army, 180,000 of them, all gone. That's how powerful our God is. He's able to help us if we will just look to Him and nowhere else. God wants us to believe His Word, to trust His promises. And so God said to Abram in verse 4 and 5, "Behold, the word of the Lord came, and this saying, 'This shall not be thy heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thine heir.' And he brought him forth abroad and said, 'Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them.' He said unto them, 'So shall thy seed be.'" Wow. Has he gotten a son yet? Not yet. He still has to wait. But God has given him his promise. And God would want us to take him at his word. And so, our fourth thought, the first thought, faith in God, verse 1. Fears given, explained to God, verse 2 to 3. Faithful word of God to allay every fear, verse 4 to 5. And finally, faith to believe God's word, God's faithful word, to take God at His word, to believe the promises, the counsel of God. God gives you counsel through His word as you pray, whether you read a proverb, whether you read a psalm, whether you read any part of all the other part of scripture. God speaks to you, and it will come very clearly. The Holy Spirit will show you. It will be an illumination that comes to your mind, and you would understand that, yes, this is it. This is what God would want me to do. Verse 6, our last thought. And he believed in the Lord. He believed in the Lord. He took God at his word. And he took the counsel of God and he acted upon it. And his fears were removed from him. And he counted it, God counted it to him for righteousness. God counted to him for righteousness. Turn with me to Romans chapter 4 and verse 19 to 21 as we conclude. Romans chapter 4, verse 19 to 21, as we conclude. It says here, Romans chapter 4 and verse 19, concerning the man Abram, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Right? God said to him that he's going to have a child, but his body is dead. The wife's womb is barren, dead. They are already past the age of childbearing. Okay? Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. How wonderful it is, the word of God given to us. Our God is able. He is our safety. He is our satisfaction. He is our protector. He is our provider. He is our very present help. May the Lord strengthen the faith of His people as we face trials in our lives. As we face the fears of life, God provided us the antidote. May the Lord bless us with understanding that we would exercise faith in God, that we would have our fears given to God in prayer, that we would find counsel in the faithful word of God, and that we would have the faith to believe God and His word. May the Lord bless us with His grace. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Strengthen us by Thy presence. Comfort us and cheer us. And take away the fear that is in our hearts. And grant us faith to trust in Thee. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.